Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. Let me remind you to check out the RGM website for news, updates, and free downloads. Now, let's go to Reverend Randall Greer.
I just want to share with you know about what I was praying and meditating on, about what I believe the Lord was sharing with me about the year of 2013. And certainly, I'm just as human as anybody else, and I can miss it just like anybody else. But I believe the Lord said something to me about 2013, and because I needed an encouraging word. I don't know about you. I was sharing some things out of Psalms 27. I believe it was this morning, and the psalmist there, David, said, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I mean, I got to the point there for a while that I almost fainted. You know, and the Lord is the one that strengthens us because, you know, I had my hopes and my faith in different situations and circumstances, and it seemed like it didn't work like I thought, but God is a good God. Amen? And so He knows how to encourage us. But this, at 2013, this is what in the latter part of December, the Lord had spoken to me about that I want to share with you that I pray will be a blessing to you. 2013 or 2013 will not turn out as it first may seem. For the Lord Himself is doing a new thing. Even though all has seemed lost with trouble on every side, many will turn to Him in prayer and He will hear and He will provide. His mercy and grace has enabled us to run this race, and in the Spirit we will take our place. I believe that's what the Lord is saying to me, and I believe that you can take it too. But I'll read it again. 2013 will not turn out as it first may seem. For the Lord Himself is doing a new thing. Even though all has seemed lost with trouble on every side, many will turn to Him in prayer and He will hear and provide. His mercy and grace has enabled us to run this race, and in the Spirit we will take our place. I'm glad that 2013 will not turn out as it first may seem, because it seems like in the natural, if you look at all the, you know, commentators and the dictators and the sweet potatoes and the iced potatoes and the Irish potatoes and the red potatoes and the cooked potatoes and the mashed potatoes and the all kinds of potatoes and people making these commentations. I mean, it looks like it is over. And I will not tell my bird story tonight, but it looks like it's over. But I'm here to tell you, a lot of people just says, assume the crash position and hang on because we're going under. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is still the head of the church. Amen. And He is the one that's in control. And yes, I'm not denying that times seem bleak. But I know this, that right in the midst of the greatest troubles will come the greatest triumph. I know this. In the midst of the greatest troubles, there will come the greatest triumph that the church or world has ever seen nor known. Now, I've never said that before, and I sensed the Holy Ghost to my toenails when I said that. In the midst of the greatest troubles, there will come the greatest triumph that the church or world has ever seen or known. You know, there was much persecution in the beginning of the early church, you know, when the early church was being formed and growing in God. In the book of Acts, if you go back there, there were many that faced great opposition. But right in the midst of that opposition, right in the midst of the greatest test and trial that they could ever come up against, there was great triumph. And the church grew supernaturally, and signs and miracles and wonders took place. Well, what makes us think that it's going to be any different at the end of the church age than it was at the first of the church age? Yes, we're facing opposition. But at the same time, the Lord Jesus Christ is causing us to triumph in the midst of all the opposition that we have faced, and we will accomplish God's will, and we will accomplish God's plan, and there's no devil or demon that can stop us from doing that in the name of Jesus. As I was praying about what to share with you and meditating on what to share with you tonight, I believe, Haso Makito Jose. Lendo For there will be a turnaround in this day, even though many have said there is no way. But I am still Lord, and I am still God. And I will cause you to arise in this day, my people, and Satan under your feet you shall trod. For I am Lord God Almighty, and I am building my church, and you shall overcome, and in this race you shall run. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. God is still God. God is still God. I would encourage you, if he's not able to be with us this morning, I believe the message from this morning may encourage you. And I think it's available back there somewhere, the bookstore somewhere. But there were some things that the Lord said to us this morning about not losing hope and keeping your dream, keeping vision, because a lot of people come to a place of hopelessness and think, well, I just got to hang on. I can't move forward. But the Lord encouraged us this morning to move forward. As I was about to share what I was going to share with you, before the Lord just interrupted us, in which he can anytime he wants to. But the Lord just kind of, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever and ever and ever. Amen. The Lord is still good. I'm telling you, he's still good. Things look bad. Things look bad, but the Lord is good. Even though things look bad, the Lord is still good, and his mercy endures. His mercy is still enduring over the United States of America. His mercy is still enduring over his church. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Yes, are there those that oppose the will of God? Are there those that oppose the plan of God? Are there those that oppose the word of God? Certainly. But do you know that God will have mercy on them too? Because he realizes that many of them do it in absolute ignorance. Remember, the Apostle Paul talked about the things that he'd done prior to him coming to the Lord. He'd done in ignorance. That may not be the exact words, but he didn't understand until he got the revelation. Then he made the change. Now, when people do things in blatant error when they already know better, that's a whole different story. But there's people that do things in ignorance. There's things going on with the church, I believe, that are taking place, I'm talking about as a whole, not just one church, that are just seemingly people are doing things out of ignorance because they don't know any better. But I believe this is a wake-up year. I just believe that God's going to wake things up, and the blind are going to see, and the ones that are deaf are going to hear. I'm not talking about just physically, even though physical applications can apply. I'm talking about spiritually. And we got into some of that this morning also. But I was attempting to go in this direction, but still, it's all by the Holy Ghost. Have you ever woke yourself up preaching before? You ever woke up preaching? Well, preachers, you can wake up preaching. You know, I have done it a few times over the years, but I woke up preaching a message, and I woke up and I had the points, I had everything. I mean, but it came by the Holy Ghost. It came out of my spirit. It was given to me. And so I didn't want to hold you to the, at least I want to let you out by midnight tonight. So I just figured that in between me and the Lord that we could, because I understand, you know, I think we got school going on around here, isn't that right? And things like that. So I understand how all those things go, and people have to go to work and things. So I don't want to, you know, keep you at least. If you fall out on me, I'm just going to raise you from the dead. So forget it we're going on. That's what Paul did. And I got chapter and verse for it. But I understand that there's things that you have to do, and I don't want to, you know, run you down. But the Lord just kind of impressed me to go back and share, which I've never preached this before, except in my sleep, in my waking up, preaching it to myself. Of course, I was preaching it to me, but if it was good for me, it will be good for you. Granny said, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Now, what does that mean? You have to ask Pastor Robin here about it. She can tell you. But what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I'm telling you, it's good for us. But I woke up preaching this message to myself, and I know it was a word from God, on December the 6th of 2012 at 3:27 a.m. 3:27 a.m., said Brother Randy, I didn't even know the world existed at 3:27 a.m. Well, I wouldn't necessarily knew the world existed, but I'd just been in an attitude of prayer, You can kind of get, you know, in the spirit and kind of go to bed in the spirit. And I'm not talking about any weird, whacked out way, but just in a time of seeking God. And sometimes the Lord wakes me up in these kind of mornings like this. And sometimes I get up actually and go to my little prayer room there at our home, and I'll just spend time praying. And it's quiet. And I always tell everybody that asks me, why you get up so early? I said, I do like Daddy taught me, get up before the devil does. Amen. And just be ahead of him and already have your strategy worked out before you can get his worked out. And of course, I say that in a joking manner. Other people are different. Now, my wife, she's a night person. I mean, if you want to pray into the midnight hour and burn the midnight oil until it runs out and then fill it up again, she'll be there with you. But me, I go to bed with the chickens if I'm at home. Normally, you know what I mean? But I may have experience during the night, and that's what happened to me here. And I don't always have these experiences. It's not something that happens to me all the time. But they've been happening to me more often, I'll be honest with you, since the year of 2003. And I'm not getting into that, but since 2003... I've been having more experiences like this. So it was December the 6th of 2012 at 3:27 a.m. I woke myself up preaching this message, and I want to share it with you. I believe the Lord gave me that direction and encouraged me to do this. It's just three simple little points, but they're Holy Ghost points. And I believe it's a message for us to go look forward to into 2013. Now, I know it was for me because it encouraged me greatly. I was facing much opposition and things that were going on. There was dilemmas that we were facing in our ministry, situations we were facing, looking into 2013, things didn't look good, but the Holy Ghost always knows how to work things out. And I'm here to tell you, He knows how to encourage us, and He knows how to get us going in the right direction. So turn to Mark chapter 5. And this title of this message tonight, I don't know if I had a title, but this is the title of the message. If we could give it a title, it'll be this call tonight, a message of victory. Hallelujah. A message of victory. Yes. You've been hearing, and so have I, too much doom and gloom. You know, and if you don't watch it, you'll be getting caught up in it and think, well, it's over and there's no hope. I shouldn't exercise my faith. But tonight, it's a message of victory because that's what it gave me. It encouraged me and gave me victory. So I have preached this to myself. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying it just fell flat or not. But anyway, the first thing that the Lord said to me when I woke up preaching to myself, point one was, do not be discouraged. Amen. Number one, do not allow yourself to be discouraged. Because if you don't watch it, you can be discouraged by hearing the wrong things. When it looks like all is lost and all hope is gone, don't be discouraged. Do not allow yourself to take on a spirit, you could call it, of discouragement and get emotionally distraught and upset and say, what in the world am I going to do? Because God is still on the throne and He's going to work things out for you. Jesus done these types of miracles and brought people from discouragement into victory many, many, many times throughout the Word of God. And the disciples said, one of the disciples said, if the books were written of all that Jesus did while He was here on this earth, the world could not contain the books. You know what the author was just saying? He'd done many more things than what's recorded in the Gospels. But He always was taking people and bringing them from discouragement into encouragement. He was bringing them from a place of being discouraged to a place of victory. And we can see that here. In the book of Mark, in verse number, we're going to start reading in verse number 35. Here we also in Mark 5, you can read about the story with the issue of blood where she was healed and she touched the hem of His garment. Here we have Jairus that had came to him, a man from the synagogue. In fact, we'll just start reading here, just read a couple of verses in Mark chapter 5, and then we'll skip down for the sake of time. But Mark chapter 5, verse number 22. It said, Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Jairus fell down and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee,
come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jairus came. Why? Because he was without hope. He was discouraged. There was no hope in this natural physical world. Medical science of their day had no answer, had no solution. And he said, my little daughter, his little girl, probably his partner.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us next time when Reverend Greer brings us the Word of God. And remember, God is with us.